You're listening to JS Party, a weekly celebration of JavaScript and the web. Thanks, as always, to our partners for helping us bring you awesome developer pods each and every week. Shout out to Fastly.com, Fly.io, and TypeSense.org. Okay, hey, it's party time, y'all.
Hoi hoi, welcome to another exciting JS Party. I'm your host this week, Nick Nisi, and I am joined by two very exciting guests. First, I have Aiden Bai. Aiden, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Happy to be on the show.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. And we also have Toby Loba. Toby, how are you doing?
Hey, Nick. Happy to be on the show today.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Very excited to have both of you on. And we are talking about Million.js, which is an amazing project to make React and other virtual DOM environments a lot faster by replacing the virtual DOM. Is that right?
Exactly.
Awesome. So first off, Aiden, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, I'm Aiden Bai. I'm currently a high school senior up in Washington State. Next year, I'll be going to the University of Washington for computer science. But what you're here for is Million.js. And so for the past 2 years, I've been working with several other contributors on this project. Essentially, it's a virtual DOM replacement for React. By wrapping your components in a block function, kind of like how you do with Memo, you can speed up the virtual DOM. So essentially, imagine if you wrote React components, but they were actually fast.
Nice. Yeah. And as we established in the pre-show, you are graduating from high school, which means you were born in the year that I graduated from high school. So you officially have made me feel older than any guest that we've had on so far. So thank you for that.
No problem.
And Toby, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself as well?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Nick. Yeah, so a bit of intro about me. So I'm Toby Loba. Yeah, and I'm a software engineer, front end specifically. So yeah, I started like my entire tech journey like last year, around March. I started like went to a bootcamp, 3 months bootcamp, learned basic skills, and then started like an open source journey around October with Oktoberfest. Yeah, that's like a bit of backstory for me.
Nice.
But I'm a CS student, second year, and pretty much.
Nice. And did you get involved with Million.js through Oktoberfest?
Actually, funny story, got involved in open source with a website. There's this community called 4C, owned by Francesco. You probably know him on Twitter. So I maintained the website. I maintained it through Oktoberfest, and that was how I got my t-shirt as well. So that was like my venture into open source.
Nice.
And it gave me the experience working with Git and everything. So Million started this year.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about what Million is and how you got started with it.
Yeah. It started in June 2021. Basically, I was bored and I was like, what if we made a virtual DOM? And like, I've gotten a lot of comments about it. It's just like, why would a high schooler, why would any software engineer, let alone a high schooler, want to learn about like the virtual DOM? And like, when I initially like pitched it to my mom, and she was like, are you sure you're not going on the internet? You know, because you know, there's different connotations to the same word, right? So like, long story short, I just tried to make this virtual DOM thing. And I kind of figured out that React developers kind of compromise with this really slow virtual DOM. And not saying that the React team has not created a great product. It's just that there are some shortcomings that we've probably all faced, whether it be bundle size or rendering performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so in November, I shipped V1, or November of last year, I shipped V1, where I tried to literally recreate React and make everything compatible, kind of like how pre-act compatibility is, and make it faster. And to be frank, it utterly failed. All the benchmarks, it was actually slower than React. And so I spent the next 3 months working on this new thing called the block virtual DOM. And block virtual DOM are really cool because it's a new concept. We can introduce the virtual DOM that makes it significantly faster, on par with libraries like SolidJS and other fine-grained reactive libraries. And so, yeah, that's what Million has become. And it's awesome to see so many people have been using it and React users developing or taking advantage of it.
Wow. So I have never heard of that before, the block virtual DOM. Did you say that other projects are doing similar things like Solid or Quick?
So Solid and Quick are kind of using something called fine-grained reactivity or signals.
Okay.
They use the data. They develop abstractions over the data in order to pinpoint those like dominoes. So like you change the data that only that specific domino changes. But the block virtual DOM takes like inverts that control, where the data is arbitrary, but the relationship between some sort of data and the DOM node, there's a relationship there. And so essentially you can have random props and it will like figure out where it goes. It's kind of like the Svelte model.
Okay. This is blowing my mind right now. Only because maybe we should start with what the current React virtual DOM does and how that differs. Maybe give an intro into that.
Yeah. So React's philosophy is we can represent the user interface or the JSX as a function of the state. Essentially what that means is state flows down to the user interface and it gets updated that way. That's what we call a render, right? But during that reconciliation process after it's been rendered, where it figures out what needs to be changed in the DOM, that's where the expensive part is. Because basically what it's doing, let's say you have like your JSX is like, I don't know, 50 elements, mm-hmm. like 50 divs in a row. Obviously that's not realistic, but you know, we're just in this fantasy land. What it does, it compares those 50 div nodes to see if there's a difference. And if it finds a difference, it can make that DOM node change. But you can see how the more nodes we have, or the more divs we have, the more computation we're going to do, and the more slow it's going to be, right? And so that's the bottleneck of React. Obviously, you can architect great React applications that are very performant if you use components right. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, that's not the case.
Okay, yep. And so it's doing that diff on all of those. And it, as the DOM grows, it computationally grows more. But million... So how does it invert that?
So essentially, we have two stages. The first stage is static analysis. Essentially, we use a compiler to run over the component you want to analyze. So you wrap that component with a block function, and it runs that component.
Okay.
Essentially, what it can do is it can see where the dynamic places are. So for example, if you have like some hook state that goes to this specific nested div, it can figure that out. And with that, you don't need to do that diff every single time, because we assume that only dynamic data changes and static nodes don't. Essentially, we just skip the static and only change the dynamic.
Okay. So that's making more sense. Like if you had a text field component, right? And you might have a lot of classes and divs around that where you're creating the text field itself, like the input, but you might also have like a label associated with that and other things like those more static pieces where it's maybe just, you know, for styling purposes only, you know, a class, a div with a bunch of Tailwind classes on it, for example, your compiler is going to go look at that and see that will never change. So it just excludes that from any DOM diffing and only keeps like the input, for example, as the piece that's actually going to get changed. Is that kind of...
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. So that made it so much simpler in my head. That's awesome. So how did you come up with this idea to do that?
There is already just an existing library called BlockDOM, which kind of introduces this sort of concept. But it wasn't really accessible to most developers. It was just kind of like another JavaScript library you can use. And the way you define the view was in like one big string. And like, obviously it's cool, but like, I don't want to use that in my own application. And so Million kind of makes that block virtual DOM concept accessible to most developers through React or Preact. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it got started. There are further optimizations on top of BlockDOM. BlockDOM is all runtime-based, and so essentially you have to do that static analysis during the page load, which can have like a little bit of an initialization cost. But using a compiler, we can just skip that, right? So essentially you get the performance benefits of BlockDOM during like the runtime, and also you don't have that initialization cost, which is really cool.
Nice. Are there certain like types of components or certain use cases where it doesn't work super well, just maybe because they're so like it sounds like you need to know more about it at build time, the structure of like the actual component, but maybe that for one reason or another might not be set up. So would it just kind of exclude that from it or include all of the DOM, the virtual DOM, and not exclude anything? Like how does that work?
Right. Initially, what we had was we only allowed stateless components. So essentially, no hooks, no, you know, local state.
Yeah.
Because what it does, it kind of runs that function, and then you kind of get the view from that. And so essentially, you can't run hooks because the function doesn't rerun. But with a compiler, we can kind of bypass that. essentially what we can do is we can analyze and see those hooks in like dynamic expressions and split it into two components. One component has all the hooks and data, and then it calls that block, and one component is just for the reference during compilation. And so there are limitations. So mainly there are three. Number one, it doesn't work well with UI libraries. Million can't figure out the components that are used within components yet. So essentially what I mean is, let's say you have a component and you're using like a UI library that calls a text component. And that inside that text component, it has like a bold component or something like that. Mm-hmm. It can't figure out how to optimize those components yet. And so essentially what it does, it defers that rendering to React. And so essentially you don't have any performance benefit there. Another limitation is conditional rendering. Million assumes that components are deterministic. Essentially, they return stable or similar views over time. We also defer that to React if there's conditional rendering. And the third one is, man, I just totally forgot the third one. But those are the two main limitations.
Yeah, nice. Toby, how did you get involved with Million?
Jared here. Unfortunately, Toby's audio went haywire for about 10 minutes, and you won't be able to understand anything he's saying. We did our best to fix it up, but nah. So let's take a quick news break, and then we'll drop you back in when things clear up. You'll have to pick up the context on the other side, but the rest of the show is nice and clear, so I hope you stick around for the remainder. This is a Changelog news break. Even legendary computer scientist Donald Knuth is playing with ChatGPT. Inspired by a conversation he had with Stephen Wolfram, Knuth asked it 20 questions and wrote up his analysis of its responses. His questions are interesting, much more intentional than anything I'd come up with. He asks things like, does Donald Trump eat betel nuts? Write a sonnet that is also a haiku. What is the most beautiful algorithm? Stuff like that. He then provides the answers verbatim and his conclusions. Here's my favorite thing he has to say about it. Quote, I find it fascinating that novelists galore have written for decades about scenarios that might occur after a, quote, singularity in which superintelligent machines exist. But as far as I know, not a single novelist has realized that such a singularity would almost surely be preceded by a world in which machines are 0.01% intelligent, and in which millions of real people would be able to interact with them freely, at essentially no cost. End quote. Despite this game of 20 questions, Knuth does not plan on continuing his generative AI research. He says he's going to spend his time developing concepts that are authentic and trustworthy. You just heard one of our five top stories from Monday's Changelog News. Subscribe to the podcast to get all of the week's top stories and pop your email address in at changelog.com/news to also receive our free companion email with even more developer news worth your attention. Once again, that's changelog.com/news.
To kind of expand on what Toby said, it's basically, we do have constraints, and we do have a rules of blocks page, kind of like a rules of hooks, but obviously no one reads documentation. And so we do have compiler warnings, right? Essentially, anytime you do something that kind of doesn't fit with Million's model, it first defers to React. It just like progressively degrades.
Okay.
But it also gives you kind of a tip how to warn, like a warning, and like explains how this works.
Okay. And this would be at like build time, right? Like I run Vite build and it spits out like Million's compiler takes over and kind of spits out a few things.
Exactly. It gives you a tip how to fix this. It gives you the line where you're having the problem and also the rules of blocks page.
Okay.
And also for our, I understand like nobody reads the documentation, but trust me, if you want to get into Million, absolutely read the docs. There's a reason you can't just, you know, when you're at the rendering place, you can't just do a block and then you're done. There are some constraints. It can't be that easy, right? We're trying to make your life hard here. Just kidding. But basically, we have a great quick start guide. It's literally just 5 minutes and you can just, you know, jumpstart a million really quickly.
Yeah. Nice. So like from that piece though, I was kind of looking at the quick start guide and it looks like really the only difference is like from, you know, a typical like Vite React app that I would create are adding in the plugin into your Vite config. but then also on those components that you're going to use it on, wrapping that in a call to block that you import from Million, and then it kind of just takes over from there. So is that really the only API like surface layer that you have?
We do have a for component. It's kind of how Solid works, but okay. For people who don't know Solid, it's basically a special component we have for block rendering. One thing about React rendering is that when you have a lot of elements, it gets really slow.
Yep.
And so we have this special component that optimizes that for you. You don't need to deal with trying to figure out how to make that fast.
That's awesome. Okay. So like we've been using Vite as an example here, but like what about other kind of runtimes or build tools that you might use? Like for example, Next, right? Is it compatible with Next.js? Is it compatible with React Server Components? What's the story there? I know all of that is pretty new and you're pretty new as well. So I'm just curious.
And Toby has been helping a lot with like educating Discord about this, but
okay.
We have support for Next.js, Gatsby, Astro, Vite,
wow.
Webpack, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't have support for Remix because I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here, but we try to get Remix support, but they don't have a plugin system. I don't understand why. Okay, not to hate on the Remix team, but please add a plugin system, right? Literally, you could have. They just added Tailwind support, and yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that. Actually, that's a good plea for a plugin system, and yeah, cool. So it does work with Next, Astro, Gatsby, and does it work with Next13's app directory?
It does within client components, so you have to make sure you have that use client.
Got it. Awesome. That feels like it would work everywhere. I'm just thinking like, could I start using this today? And it is something that I'm going to go play around with after this. So tell me more about what that block is actually doing. Like, is it just using that as some kind of way to identify which components to hone in on for the compiler? And then the compiler just kind of goes through, like, what is the compiler actually doing? Like, is it walking the AST and kind of figuring out things from there? Like, what's it actually doing?
Right. No, it's exactly what you say. It walks the AST and it tries to figure out what's up. So right now we have two compilers or two modes. We have a React mode and also an optimizer mode. The optimizer mode is still experimental. It's kind of like further reduces the initialization time. But essentially our current React transform, which is what most users use, it does that component splitting thing I said earlier. Essentially it figures out, it separates the data from the user interface. One limitation with the runtime model is that it requires a stateless component because it just runs that component as a reference. And so once we've compiled that, we separated it, we can use the runtime API. There's two parts to the runtime API. I know this is getting a little complicated. Even like some of the core contributors are like, oh my gosh. But essentially, we have the core virtual DOM, and then we have a wrapper that masquerades as React. The core virtual DOM is what I described earlier with the Svelte model thing, for making static and dynamic separate. But we also have a layer that masquerades as React. Essentially, we have a React component. So essentially, when you run block, it consumes your component. Inside that block function, it returns a new component. That new component is what we call a loader component. A loader component can essentially load the Million virtual DOM. Imagine it as an empty element with a ref on it. Once it loads, that ref gets added to the element. And then we can use that element to render the Million virtual DOM too. It's like a parachute almost. Like when you fall into the sky, that parachute bag is your loader component. And once you like start crawling, that parachute comes out. That's your Million virtual DOM, essentially.
I love that analogy.
Actually, we just posted a new blog post on how we do that loader component. And the cool thing about it is it's not just Million that can use that pattern, but also frameworks like Solid or maybe Svelte or Preact can use that model as well.
Oh, nice. So it can grow beyond React. So how does that work, I guess? Just based on what I understand about like Svelte, for example, is Svelte using a virtual DOM?
So actually the loader pattern or like a loader thing, you don't need to have the rendering kind of tied to the React virtual DOM. Essentially, it's kind of like Astro Islands, but the static content is the React, and then the whatever framework is your whatever framework. But instead of an island being in a field of static, you're being in a field of dynamic virtual nodes, right? And so you're kind of escaping React's rendering reconciliation responsibility into your own React framework. I mean, it's just a DOM node, right? React will eventually put a DOM node onto the page, and we can take advantage of that DOM node to load our own content.
Nice. So one other question that I had that was coming up for me was, you mentioned, like, for example, with Next, it only works with client components, like specifically in the app directory. It only works with client components, and there are some, like, the components need to be deterministic, right? So is there, do you offer any like helpers to help developers with that? I'm thinking like ESLint plugins or things like that, that can help them identify the right places where Million makes sense and where it might not.
Yeah, we're planning, it's on, ESLint is on our roadmap because it's like absolutely essential. We need like a plugin to show where developers use this, how developers should use this. It just needs to be built in, right? Because else it's just so unintuitive.
Yeah.
But we currently have is compiler warnings or compiler errors.
Okay.
So that's what best we have right now, but we're definitely working on ESLint plugin to make it a lot more seamless.
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, you're coming in so quick with all of this that I can't imagine having all of that just immediately set up as well. But it's great to hear that it's on the roadmap. So that's awesome, because I think that could make, you know, a big difference in, I'm not always the biggest fan of things like ESLint, but like where they make sense, like specifically the React hooks rules is so helpful. So like that's where I feel like plugins like that really shine. And Million just seems like it makes sense from what I understand. It makes sense that would naturally just have that at some point. So awesome to hear.
Totally. For me, like, I love it when the linter yells at me for dependency arrays.
Yes.
Like, I always don't, like, always forget how to use them, and it just tells me, and it kind of does it for me. It's amazing.
Yes. I love, too, like, there's things that I've been really getting into, like, Next 13, like, React Server components and stuff, and the ESLint rules for that are super helpful. It's like, oh, you can't do this in a client component, or this has to be a client component to be able to access this. Like, super helpful to just keep you on track instead of just, like, fail, and why did it fail? So, yeah, that's great.
Find yourself itching to grow at work, but you're not getting the support you need from your manager? Or maybe you're at a career transition and trying to figure out what you want and how to get it. Or you've got a great job, but could use an external perspective on some tricky cross-functional relationships. Hi, this is K-Ball from JS Party, and these are the exact types of problems I'm helping folks with in my new business. I think about it as pair programming for non-technical problems. If you're curious, you can learn more and sign up for a free exploratory session at kball.llc/coaching.
Now, I have the hard-hitting question next, and that is, where did the name Million come from?
Frankly, there's this great package on NPM called Available, and it's like a CLI command, and you could just get all like very commonly used words on the, from Google, like, and just list a bunch of available NPM packages. And the great thing about it is that, like, when I was just looking through it, I saw the name Million, and I was like, this is it. Yeah. You know, it just matches, because like Million kind of feels like, oh, we could do like a million operations per second, or, you know, can handle a million UI nodes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it can't. So it's a little bit of a false marketing. We do have a mascot. We call it the Million the Lion, where MILLION, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's where the logo comes from. It's like a lion snout.
I was wondering. Yeah. It kind of looks like that after staring at it for a minute. I was like, oh, okay. And I think I might have seen that on somewhere, but like I saw the mill plus lion, and I was wondering if that's like millisecond plus lion, like you're fat, you're making.
I didn't even think of that one. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's good. we're patenting that. Yeah, actually, Toby was the one who suggested like we should actually, you know, clarify that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I like that a lot. So another question I had is, you know, in terms of like this, definitely, you know, has a lot of potential to make React a lot faster. And I'm curious if you've been in touch with the React team at all, or if you've had any kind of conversations around that, or like why they don't do things like this. Is it maybe just backwards compatibility issues, or I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I have had the opportunity to talk with like Theo and some like React influencers, but not necessarily the React team. The React team has a very like staunch position on this, and for valid reasons, right? If you work in the React model and if you can create great React applications and use like well-written code, it's going to be good or good enough. Well, more than good enough, actually. And with the advent of server components, a lot of these kind of performance problems can be changed based on the architecture. Basically, if you build good React applications, they're going to perform well. And that's great. You know what? Totally valid. But React developers don't write good React applications. Right.
And how dare you?
You know what? As someone who does not write good at React apps, I'm like,
I agree.
I'm totally, you know, I'm in that band, I'm in the camp, and I very empathize with, you know, most React developers. And I don't think most developers will adopt RSC or need RSC. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these, you know, kind of solutions are tailored for the 90th percentile, or I don't know how percentiles work, but like 90th percentile where the 10% of power users in the React developers will be able to benefit a lot from this. But that other 90%, it's not going to be there, right? We need, how do we like make React apps better without, you know, having 20 years of React experience and also knowing every single performance optimization? And that's where Moomin kind of plays in. Most performance optimization, you kind of think as bundle sizes or images. And a lot of it is, right? Like, how can we make images load faster? Or how can we not ship every single icon and 3 icon packs into this website from personal experience? But another part of it is rendering, right? Like, some apps require very dynamic rendering. They have very dynamic pages. They load a lot of content. And that's really important. And so the way we kind of remedy that is with Million. So how can we introduce faster rendering strategies into React for that 90% of developers?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Thinking of it from like a business perspective and like companies now, I mean, most companies have like maybe like they started like 2017, 2018, they probably use like the, probably still have like legacy React code in their applications that they don't want to like, that might take like a lot of work to optimize and update or something. And Million kind of like fits in that case where it solves the problem of, you know, if maybe they want to fix some optimization issues, Million can actually help them. Then instead of them having to, you know, change legacy, nobody wants to deep dive into a legacy code and you don't want to break stuff. Like, see, a Million kind of helps out in that case. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, no, that's great and totally right. And I think that there's, you know, definitely a use case where you could like bring this in and experiment with it. And it's relatively like low effort, I guess, for lack of a better word, like you can get going pretty easy. And could you kind of start small and scale and maybe see, you know, maybe I could immediately see me wanting to use this on something like a data grid or something, like where I just have a ton of React nodes that get rendered and you're trying to eke out as much performance on that as you possibly can. So like, could you use this as like I'm just going to start there and see, you know, I'm trying to render a million rows or something and see how it goes from there.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly what we're intending for. One thing, I assume a lot of developers kind of have this perspective where when they hit those React roadblocks, they can't do much with it. They can use like virtualization libraries for data grids or literal data grid libraries for data grids. But sometimes your application doesn't fit their constraints, right? It's not just data grids, right? Like there's different patterns and like, for example, if you have like a color picker, how do you optimize the color picker performance? And so there's a lot of applications that's not just, you know, certain libraries that are specialized for that. And when people hit those roadblocks, what they do is they either deal with it, provide a bad UX, or they have to switch to another framework like Svelte or Solid to render it. And that's not a great choice, right? You don't want bad UX, but you don't also want to migrate your entire code base to, or like a big part of your code base into another framework. And so that's where that kind of niche that Million serves is.
So where do you see this going in the future? Like what are the future roadmap plans for Million? And like, what do you have any like big goals in mind with it?
I can start off and Toby can talk about the DevRel stuff. But I think our team's goal and kind of my goal as well is for Million to just kind of perpetuate an idea, Right now, it's a, you know, it's a cool utility, a cool experimental thing. But fundamentally, how can we make our applications faster without compromising? Mm-hmm. That's what we want to kind of push. And the tech we're pushing is the block virtual dock, right? Like we're trying to get like React, you can maybe try this out, or Preact, maybe you can try this out. But more so, like, I think there is kind of a disconnect here, especially from someone who's very new to the web space. There's often a trade-off between UX and DX if you're not like very good at web development, right? Like you either have to pick a fast framework or you have to use React, or, you know, you have to, this, like, there's choices and it's often a trade-off. But fundamentally, how can we make UX and DX not a trade-off? Mm-hmm. And that's what Million tries to push for. But yeah, we're literally just a group of volunteers just going at it with basically no funding. We're just doing it because it's fun and we believe that there is a purpose for Million.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Toby, you can talk about what we're doing for developer relations as well.
Currently, let me just start off by saying, like, working on Million has been fun, and it is right. We're just like a bunch of people that, you know, are probably crazy and don't have anything else to do with our free time, but we just want to like do open source and you know, have fun. But at the moment, Million is we're like relating more with developers. I mean, on my end, I've been trying to collect data from developers, because most people have been like, when they see Million, they were like, oh, yeah, I can totally use this and, like, you know, optimize my entire application, and I don't have to worry about like my application being slower. But yeah, I mean, we're educating developers. We're trying to like gather as much information to improve the developer experience for developers, such that you know, such as developers that want to, or that need Million in their applications, know, okay, this is when I need Million, and this is when I don't need Million. Yeah, I need Million for this. So I mean, that's pretty much the goal. And if we can, you know, get to that level where a developer knows that if I have this in my application, okay, Million can solve this problem for me. So I mean, yeah, it's pretty much, it's not about marketing, it's not about selling stuff to developers. We're not doing lemonade here. We're like trying to give you like a solution that, you know, helps you, I don't know, as a developer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, that's great. One other question that I meant to ask was around, like, do you see any, I'm trying to think of the right word, but like immovable rocks, like problems that you haven't quite figured out how to work around, or that could be stumbling blocks for Million as it grows or as it tries to take on other use cases? And that could be anything, like you mentioned, like non-deterministic components or things like that. Like, are there just like things that might be difficult to like take on, you know, a 90 to 99% use case of all components?
Right. I remember I was in like a Twitter space with Theo like a month ago or something, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about Million. And the one thing I remember him saying is Million is a very difficult problem with not as much ROI as it should have. Just like projects like Button. Like, yeah. You're rewriting an entire JavaScript runtime to like make marginal, like, okay, like in the grand scope of things, it's just like so much performance optimization. And so the reason we kind of label Million as an experiment that you can try is because it is, right? It's we're taking a big, big bet on, you know, rewriting the virtual DOM and making it compatible with React and making an entire compiler for it. But I think it's a bet that we should take. Obviously there's like a lot of technical like constraints, like deterministic returns or whatever. And our hope is the compiler can solve that for us, where we're able to statically analyze the, you know, our component and make it work. It's why Solid can work, right? Solid uses static analysis to optimize their JSX. But yeah, it's definitely a huge challenge. And we're not like, sometimes like most applications aren't apps, right? Web apps. And so most applications aren't data grids either. And so the ROI there isn't super high unless it is super high for you. But for that, for us, it's okay. Because if it does help that, you know, whatever percentage of people, that's worth it for us.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I just love that, you know, I remember coming into React and just, you know, struggling with it initially. And I was at JSConf when they announced it. And I have a tweet that is not, it's like, oh, this is not going to work or whatever. This is silly. So that was super fun. But like just, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is I love how like I came into the problem and I was like, oh, you know, trying to work within the constraints of React, and you come in and you're just like, what if we could like just dig through that and like make React faster? And like, you know, to most, including myself, like for the longest time, the virtual DOM was just like this nebulous, like, you know, black box that I never touch. And it just, it does the magic. And you're just like, well, what if we just peer into that and we see exactly what it's doing and we just change it and make it so much better? So that's like, I just love the curiosity of that. And it's just such a highlight of like why it's good to be curious about these things.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the only one either. With things like preact signals, where we bring literal signals to React and like direct rendering, that's also a cool model. Preact is also doing their own compatibility library. Inferno.js is just, if you look at the JS framework benchmark, it's sometimes faster than Solid, which is like crazy. Like it uses a virtual DOM, but it's faster. And so it's really, really cool. I think I'm also reflecting, if you know Ryan Carniato, creator of Solid.js, his sentiments are like, in fact, the Solid community has been like such an inspiration for us, not only because, you know, their technology is super cool, but also kind of their curiosity. Their curiosity to explore like very experimental things like signals. And over here, we're exploring things like block virtual DOM. And I think Million is like one in many of these new things, right? Like people are excited about new rendering solutions and people are tired of, you know, dealing with slow React applications. And so it's really, really cool to see a lot of innovation around RSC, around signals, around off-screen rendering, about concurrent rendering, about block virtual DOM. There's so much cool stuff happening. And I'm really, really excited for the future.
Likewise. And yeah, I would definitely put Million up there with, you know, projects like that, that are not just like sitting on the technology as it is, but actively looking like, what if we can, you know, what if we go our own way in the case of like Solid or Quick or those, and like, we just like fundamentally change things, but we prove out that, you know, it doesn't have to be in this one way, in this one way only. And that's the same thing with like Dino and Bun and like just up and down the JavaScript ecosystem, like chain, there is, people are just like pecking away at the status quo and changing it, and Millions up there too. And so that's just like so exciting. And I love projects like this that really, they change the way you think about things. They make you question like, what is the virtual DOM doing? What can we do to make it better? Could that be something that we incorporate back into React? Or could it be, you know, something that gets incorporated into like build systems in just the way that you're doing with like plugins into Vite and Next and all of that? And yeah, just like constantly questioning it, you know, not just being like, this is the way that it is and the way that it'll always be, is how we get better things. And so I appreciate your curiosity and willingness to push that forward.
No, yeah, I really appreciate it. We're not on the level of, you know, Solid or Quick Innovation, but we hope to be there someday.
These projects all start out with like, you know, just finding some fundamental question to, or like constant, and saying that doesn't have to be a constant. Let's change it and figure out some different way. So yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, one thing I'm looking forward to is like, you know, having more developers, you know, fascinated by the work we're doing at Million and, you know, want to test it out. I mean, that might actually help us discover more things we could explore with Million and things we could, you know, maybe add as features or something. Because, I mean, it's still like, it's not that young as well, but it's pretty old. I mean, Aiden has worked for this for a long time. Though. But, yeah, I still would like to see more projects use, you know, break it, you know, let them do whatever they like with that. I just want to see them using it in applications. It would be nice.
Yeah. So that is one call out that we can ask of the audience, is to go check it out at, it's million.dev, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome domain name. Go check it out. Go give it a try. And what else? Like how can folks get involved with this project?
I think one thing is, first, try out Million, but second, be excited about new technologies, right? I think the JavaScript community has been really good on Twitter, you know, because we're all nerds on Twitter. We're all like the fringe nerds who like new stuff. But if you have a coworker, like a friend, or maybe if you have a cousin who's coding or something like that, tell them about these new technologies. It shouldn't be the 1% of people who have access on Twitter. It should be everyone should have access to these new technologies and try them out. Mm-hmm. So be excited about these things, share these ideas, and we can make a better web together.
I love it. I think that's a perfect place to end it. And we will have links to all of this in the show notes. We'll have links. I believe you also mentioned there's a Discord for Million, so we'll have links to that as well. Anything else that you'd like to say before we play us out?
Subscribe to JS Party or whatever the whatever the thing is.
Yes, that's great advice. JSParty.fm. How about you, Toby? Anything that you'd like to let us know, or how can we keep in touch with you and you as well, Aiden, on Twitter? Is that a really good place to reach out?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at AidenYBuy, or just look up AidenBuy on Google. You find me.
Yeah, so you can check me out, Toby Solutions, and on Twitter. But I'm actually like for you to join, for you developers or whoever, if you want to help out anyway, join the Discord. You can do documentation, we can do code contributions, and there's always room. This is open source anyway, so there's always room for people to join in. So that's all for my end. The Toby Solutions.
Awesome. Well, Aiden, Toby, I want to thank you both so much for joining me today and telling us about Million. Like I said, it's a really cool project. I love the curiosity that obviously went into it and the solutions that you have coming out of it. And it's definitely something that I'm going to be playing around with and adding some blocks to see what mischief I can get into. So thank you both so much for coming on, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Don't forget, we do take requests. Let us know what you want to hear about on the pod at jsparty.fm/request. Thanks once again to our partners for helping us bring you awesome pods. Shout out to Fastly.com, Fly.io, and TypeSense.org. And thank you to our Beatmaster in Residence, the mysterious BMC, for producing every beat you hear on every Changelog podcast. Next up on the pod, K-Ball, Amel, and Chris convene to discuss their development processes, PR etiquette, CI/CD, branch styles, pair programming, decision docs, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned right here. We're shipping that episode all around the world next week.